Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Welcome. Welcome, everyone. This is Next Fan Up, the podcast by the fans for the fans. I have here with me today three superfans, Rex, the Ravens superfan, Ron, our new superfan with the Dolphins, and Patrick, our superfan from the Patriots. This podcast, you can follow us, please, on Twitter at NFU Podcast. Also, if you can find us on Facebook, on iTunes, if you just search for Next Fan Up. Pod Vader started this great podcast. We have 32 different fans, each from each team, and we get together weekly to discuss the games. Starting very soon, we're going to be doing shows twice a week, going in and out of each week, Sunday night, and also like a Thursday preview show. Please join in. You're going to be able to hear super fans go at it head-to-head and kind of have debates and reactions to the games. And speaking of which, we're going to have a special show tonight. We are just reacting to the news that came out today that Brady's suspension will not be reduced, at least as of yet. The NFL has come back and said, no, we're going to stick with the four games. Brady, you're going to sit out the first 5 weeks of the season as it is because their bye week is in week four. And so it sparked in our group. We have an area with the superfans that we discuss anything that happens NFL. And today, obviously, a big debate started. And so we thought it was good to get on the air and talk about it and see what we can really break down about the situation. Obviously, the superfan we had to have on today was Patrick. He is our Patriots superfan. How you doing, Patrick?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Thank you so much for being here. To talk with Patrick, he's going to obviously be taking the side of the Patriots and talking about why he thinks this is inappropriate, the situation they are in. And then to talk on the other side of that coin, we have Rex, who is the super fan for the Ravens. How you doing, Rex?
Hey, I'm fine, guys. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. And how are you doing, Ron, our new super fan from the Dolphins?
I'm doing great, man. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. It's so great to have you on the team. We lost Dolphin Dave, who was one of our favorite super fans, but we know Ron is coming from a great place as well. He's going to be an awesome new super fan for us. Welcome to the team. As we get started, I just want to hand off first to Patrick and say, hey, man, can you just break down for us how you felt about this from the beginning? We call it Balghazi. It's also obviously called Deflategate. But as we refer to Balghazi, Patrick, yeah, tell us where you're coming from. How do you feel about this whole situation and where we at?
So let me start from the backward, you know, situation first. And I'm talking about that in terms of point of time, not in how backward ass this whole thing is. As of today, you know, the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, came down and said, okay, I'm going to uphold the decision of the league office, which I run, and hold Tom Brady to his four games. And basically, if he doesn't like it, they can sue me. Seems on the face of it that's sort of a bold stance to take, that he's standing his ground and, you know, I'm not going to let Tom Brady and the Patriots bully me and their reputation and yada, 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 yada. But in actuality, in my opinion, it really stems from a point of weakness. The general consensus, there are two general consensus. One is that everybody hates the Patriots and everybody thinks that they're cheaters and have been for, you know, going on 10 years now, and I'll get into that. They've got something coming to them. But the other is that the NFL league office has mismanaged this entire situation in every conceivable way, right from basically when they stormed in at halftime and took over the AFC championship game, to haphazardly measure some balls and not all, and didn't really keep records of what they were doing or what had been done previously. And really screwed the whole thing up. And then the constant, you know, leaks that were coming out of the league office that each ended up being completely, you know, disproved one way or the other, or contradicting itself. And Goodell, as the head of all of this, has looked like a complete fool this entire time. So if he came out and he said, okay, you know what, this suspension is harsh. It is sort of ridiculous to suspend a guy for four games when there's absolutely no evidence that he did anything wrong, when the report itself doesn't even say that he did anything specifically wrong, other than some vague concept that the guy writing the report, whose job it was to nail somebody to a cross, said, you know, I have a feeling that Brady was up to something. I don't have any proof of what he did. I don't even have any real evidence of what he did. And I don't even have any accusations specifically of what he did. But I think there's something fishy there. To go out and nail the guy for four games for something like that, that's an incredibly harsh penalty. That's like Haynesworth stomping on a guy, Andre Garrard's face with his cleats. That's that level of penalty for this, which is insanely ridiculous. But if Goodell goes out and says, okay, you know what, you're right. You know, four games was too harsh. I don't know what I was thinking a couple of months ago. We should reduce that down to two or one game, like people were projecting. Goodell looks like he's an idiot that doesn't know what he's doing. And if this were the only time that happened, even if it were the only time that happened this year, maybe that's what happens. But it just seems to keep happening. Every single time somebody goes in front of this guy, he screws the whole thing up, comes out with some draconian punishment that is completely arbitrary. It seems to be made up like in the shower that morning. And then when it comes under scrutiny, he buckles and says, okay, oh, you're right. You're right, guys. You're right. You're right. I'm sorry. I'm the big sheriff in town. I'm being a little too harsh. Why don't I ease up a bit and come out with half penalty? You know, you can do that so many times before you have no credibility. And now that he's done it on such a massive scale, on such a public forum, you know, who's such a hugely prolific player that's been playing for 15 years with, you couldn't have a more squeaky clean reputation than Tom Brady to come in with something nonsensical like this, you know, and then not stick to it. Like, he's going to look like an idiot. And frankly, he's better off at this point to have a court come in and say there was some procedural error than to have him confess to making an error in judgment, which is what it would be if it was a reduced suspension, right? He can only say if he's reducing the suspension that he was acting himself, too far out of line. But if he relies on the court to do it, they can say it's procedural, and then his judgment isn't necessarily called into question, which, by the way, is also insane. Plus, and I'll get off my soapbox and give everybody else a chance in a second here, this whole stupid thing is incredibly frustrating because of two things. One, there is a complete and total lack of evidence that the Patriots did anything wrong, anything whatsoever that they did was wrong, because this whole thing hinges on an accusation that was disproved within the Wells report. Like, the footballs were not underinflated. Like, they adhered to the ideal gas law. It's in the report. It's in the report itself. It actually says that, you know, but then there's hundreds of pages of the report that try and layer in all these red herrings to try and make you believe there was some sort of weird, ill-defined conspiracy happening by trying to suggest that all of these weird events sort of coincided to come up with some masterful plan that was not even actually laid out in the report anywhere, just like some vague concept that, well, you know, they could have been deflating the balls. Like, this is how I think it could have happened if I'm going to put my Scooby-Doo hat on and try and make believe some weird, weird scenario where you get some anonymous guys that work 8 days a year putting on ghost masks and trying to sneak into the locker room and deflate footballs when no one's looking. It's insane. It's laughable on its face. It should be a mockery. It kind of is already, but man, people are just so willing to accept the fact that the Patriots are cheaters when, and they're saying it's because of their reputation, the long history of cheating. The long history of cheating involves exactly one offense, which, for the record, was they were filming coaches. Everybody says that that's against the rules. That was not against the rules. What was against the rules is that they were doing it from the sidelines instead of from a box, from a media box. And the irony of it is, it's the opposite of spying. Like, if they actually had the camera trained on the coaches from the box where no one can see it, that's not against the rules. But because they were doing it on the sideline, all of a sudden that's a penalty. And not only is it a penalty, it's the second biggest penalty in the history of the NFL, which was only capped by this one. So anybody that thinks that the league office doesn't have something against the Patriots is insane. That there's never been an offense in the history of the entire NFL, in all teams, past, present, that anybody's ever done anything more wrong than those two instances, and that the Patriots are somehow this tainted franchise that can't help but cheat their way to victory for 15 years based on these two moronic things.
I love it, Patrick. I love the passion. I got to say, man, you are this awesome to hear the rant. Very well spoken. I do have to, before I even hand over to the other guys, I do want to just make clear, just so we're talking in actual science. So in the NFL, you were supposed to have the ball between the 12.5 PSI and 13.5 PSI. When they found the ball.
When they are measured. When they are measured.
Yeah, when they're measured. So yeah, so when they check the one at the half, at the before the half in the second quarter, interception thrown, guy feels it says something weird. They go and check that ball; it's below. So then they go and check the other balls. All of the 11 balls were under 12.5. I'm just going to go over specific numbers. So these are the numbers because I feel like people talk about this and they don't actually get the details. I'm going to write over the 11 meetings that we had. It was 11.8, 11.2.
Before you go, Mark, before you go to the numbers, which gauge are you using? Are you using the one that Walt Anderson used, or are you using the other gauge?
So, okay, check this out. There's two in the report. I'm looking right at the Wells report right now.
Yeah,
so
ignore the name. Ignore the name. Use the logo gauge. Use the logo gauge. That's the one Walt Anderson said he used. Use the logo gauge.
Okay, I don't know which one. I'll give you the better one. This one looks better. There's clearly a discrepancy in the gauges of about 0.5 or 0.4. There's one that's much lower, and there's one that's about, like I say, the higher gauge. I'll give you the one that helps your argument, Patrick. You have an 11.8, 11.2, 11.5, an 11, 11.45, 11.95, 12.3, which is the best, 11.55, 11.35, 10.9, and 11.35. The low is the 10.9. The high is the 12.3. The average below that, the drop, this is looking at the drop between when they were measured and what they were measured on the field. There was a 0.45 to a 1.02 difference. There was a greater drop in the Patriots balls to the Colts balls.
Of course there was. Because they weren't measured on the field. They were measured in the locker room. And the Colts balls were measured last.
No, these were measured at the same time. All 15
no,
of these balls
no, they weren't.
At the same time.
That's why the Colts balls weren't all measured, because they ran out of time. If they were all measured at the same time, they would have measured all the Colts balls.
Oh, my God. You're talking about a difference of minutes, but not a difference of a location or a difference of temperature. They're all standing in a room. They're measuring the balls. They get through 15 of them, and they stop. That's all the same time to me. Yes, technically, two things can't happen at the same time, Patrick. I get it. But as close as humanly possible, when one person with one gauge is checking the balls, these were all checked at the same time. And that's significant, and that's scientific, and that's accurate. So
when you say as close as...
Hold on.
Okay.
The report says in language also, you say that they actually prove it not true. The report clearly says this was... Their scientists agree there is no, the whatever law you want to bring up, air pressure changing, there's nothing that explains the greater fall in the Patriots' balls over the Colts' balls. So I'm just going to point out, you act like in the Wells, there's nothing, and it's actually really solid science.
The solid science is in the appendix, and I think the appendix is, I haven't read the report in months, but I want to say it's on page 163 that they actually get into which gauge was used and what the actual ideal gas law states that the ball should be inflated to, given where they started and where they were measured and what the temperature was when they were measured. And
yes,
the Patriots balls fall within range. They do. They're actually on the
You're
high
saying
end
they fall
of
within
the
range of what is expected to fall. That's not what it said verbally. I'll have to go and check that. But
yes,
that is interesting.
Don't listen to the conclusions that Ted Wells is stating. He is a lawyer. He is making an argument. Look at the numbers. Take out a calculator. Do the math, right? And the equations are in there. The numbers are in there. All of the data is in there. But if you read the conclusions, he's sending you down the wrong path because he is trying to. That is what he does. He is an attorney. He's a vicious, evil, scum-eating attorney. Right?
I love it.
Apologies to any listeners that do that for a profession, that try and dupe people by taking actual facts and spinning them into a way that fits their preconceived notions and argument, but that is what a lawyer does. That is their job. They are hired by somebody to prove an argument, and that is what he did. That's what they paid him millions and millions of dollars to do, is take something very simple and easy and wrap enough BS around it to make you forget the fact that this is simple algebra that high school teachers do. Like this the ideal gas law, the reason why this became such a big deal for so many people and why you constantly hear the concept of the ideal gas law is because it's taught in every high school in America. This is not overly complicated.
The report clearly says the law doesn't affect it, but I have to look at that appendix you're talking about. But in the report, he brings up the law and he specifically says, given that law exists, it would not be enough to explain.
But anything that comes out of Ted Wells' mouth, ignore it. It is a conclusion. It is not an. It is not a statement of fact.
That's the guy who was hired to do the report. That's who did the report. But I hear you. We're going to move on.
Yeah,
to
unfortunately, Fortune had something to do with it. He was hired by the league to do this. Right, this isn't happenstance. Right, somebody paid $5 million for that document that you're reading. Like, it's
that
going to say what the guy that wanted to pay for it wanted it to say. That's
totally
how that works.
Unfortunately, the way you describe, Patrick, the lawyer, how they will bend all facts to fit their argument, that's also a feature I've noticed in the superfan. So we're going to hear some of the other superfans to see if we can get through some of these arguments. But let's start with Rex. So, Rex, looking at what Patrick said, is there anything you want to specifically comment on or start with? Where would you like to begin, Rex?
Well, from what I gather here, Patrick's argument is that anything that doesn't agree with him or anything that makes the Patriots look bad, you must ignore. And anything that makes them look good or what he says, that is what you pay attention to.
Well, I'm paying attention to science and math, Rex. So, science and math are on the side of the Patriots. Then you're right. You're right.
Patrick,
evil science and math getting in the way of our belief systems again, yes.
No, but how many times did you say ignore what he says? Ignore what he says. I mean,
I said ignore his conclusions.
Basically what you're saying is that the Patriots are accused of cheating.
Amorphously, yes.
That they are accused of a vast cheating conspiracy. But your argument is by accusing the league of having a vast conspiracy against them. Okay?
You know what's funny, though, Rex?
Who has the motive? The Patriots.
There is more clout in my argument than in theirs.
The Patriots'
there's
motive
more fact
for
supporting
cheating
my argument than their argument.
The Patriots' motive for cheating would be to win games. What on earth would be the league's motive for making the Patriots look bad? They're league's champion. What on earth would their motive? That's ridiculous.
Well, Here's a motive for you.
And
I
want to
hear from Dave on this one. I'll tell you the motive.
Okay, so
like you asked,
motive,
right? And I want to hear from Dave on this one.
Please tell me what the league's motive would be to disparage their champion and one of the most high-profile teams. Tell me what that would be.
Sure. The number one and number 16 media markets in this country have been incredibly irrelevant for football for the past 15 years. How's that for motivation? Know what this penalty does? Know what taking away a starting quarterback for four games does? That makes this year competitive. Know what taking away a first-round pick next year does? That makes the next 4 or 5 years more competitive.
So wait, you're saying that they did this, otherwise you guys would just be the best team ever? Like you would be unstoppable?
No, not unstoppable. When's the last time somebody in the AFC won the AFC other than the Patriots?
2008.
Why?
You mean the AFC?
Because Brady went out for the season.
Because Brady went out for the season 8 minutes into the first game. That's why. What makes the NFL more successful now than it's ever been? What concept? Parity. When you have a dominant team, it is bad for the league. Everybody says that. Everybody says it all the time. It's bad for the league to have a dominant team. We can't have the Dallas Cowboys anymore. We can't have the 49ers anymore. It's bad for the league.
So, Patrick.
Right? So what they do to correct that.
It certainly has hurt their ratings and pocketbook. I get it. That you've done it. You've cracked the case.
Okay, tell you what, Rex. If we want to talk about case cracking, in that entire massive document that you read, why don't you tell me how the Patriots cheated? If we're going to listen to the conclusions of the guy that wrote it, which I don't like to do, I think that's stupid. He says in the cover letter that the Patriots didn't cheat. He said it.
No,
like, he didn't do it. Tom Brady didn't do it. Coach Belichick didn't do it. But he's been punished.
Brady could have ended all this by not destroying evidence, which is what he did.
No. What evidence did he destroy?
His phone. He had his phone. Why
is his phone evidence? His phone is his personal property, but where's the evidence on it? Because if you're looking for call records to Yastrzemski, they have them. Because they have the recipient's phones. If they existed, then we have them. In fact, they cite where Tom Brady called the guy. They know when he called one of the guys. They know that he never called the other one.
And they know
so that's wrong.
That they
They have the recipient's text, too. Right?
Have you done any of the reading today?
Today? Yeah. I've heard another leak from the league office that Tom Brady destroyed his cell phone. And you know what? I would love for that to be the first leak in this entire story to come out of the league office that proved out to be true. Because so far they've all been wrong. Like when the league leaked that, you know, the ball that they checked was 2 pounds underweight and it all worked. That wasn't true.
That is Brady's own admission that he did that. Brady admits it.
And it's also in the accusation. It's not a leak. Yeah. Like, they just openly say, like, he destroyed evidence. This is the problem.
Follow me here, Patrick.
Yeah.
Before the Wells report, he knew that the Wells people wanted to see his phone and any text messaging he had. He knew that this was going to happen.
Sure. Okay. He didn't have to give it to him, but okay.
You are absolutely right. And I'm not arguing that. He did not have to give it to him. Okay. But he knew that they wanted to see it.
Okay. Good for them. I want to see it too. I'd love to see pictures of his wife on the beach. I'd like to see that phone.
So instead, he had the phone destroyed. Now,
okay.
I happen to do what little research I could on here, but there's a thing called the duty to preserve evidence. Are you familiar with that?
I am. Pre-law major. Hit me up.
Okay. Well, why don't you explain to us what it is then?
If you believe that you are in possession of evidence that is going to be relevant to a procedure that's occurring, then you have an ethical obligation or a legal obligation to preserve it so that it can be deposed.
Okay. If you believe that there is a reasonable chance that this would go to a court case, and everyone knew that if Brady got suspended, this was going to go to a court case. So he did not follow the AmericanBar.org thing for the duty to preserve evidence.
Why would Brady assume that this was going to a court case before he was ever interviewed?
Because every sports talking head in the nation knew that this was going to happen.
No one said Tom Brady was going to get hung for this.
No, everyone said that if Tom Brady got suspended, he would eventually take this to court.
Everybody said that after the Wells report came out. Nobody said this like before Tom Brady was singled out, because it was so moronic. Right? Everybody, if I recall, everybody was blaming Bill Belichick. They were all jumping to that conclusion.
Oh, I was blaming Bill Belichick as well.
Well, there you go.
Now, let's not confuse anything here. I don't hate Tom Brady. I think he's – when we did our thing for how good the players were, I put him as one of the three best quarterbacks in the league still today, 35 years old. I think he is 38. I think he's fantastic, one of the five best quarterbacks that ever played. But the fact of the matter is that whatever happened there, he was not forthcoming. That is why he is being punished. He is not being forthcoming. Now, the reason he was punished 4 games is because Goodell said that the nearest equation that this could be made would be a player's first offense for being called for steroids, which is a 4-game suspension.
Why?
Because they equate it to a competitive advantage. Because
why? You said he's being hung for not being forthcoming. That's not the same thing as taking to steroids, and that's not a competitive advantage. Even if it were true, which I don't believe it's true, because I think this entire premise is a lie. Now, I'm going to tone down the language for the sake of Pod Vader. Like, this didn't actually happen. So he's got a guy that's been in the room for 5 hours.
It's hard because of the math. It's really hard. I read the report today, and it's just nothing that you're saying is in the report. It just isn't.
You're the only one that believes this, Patrick. The only one in the nation.
Yeah, calculated, guys.
I'm not the only one in the nation. Every scientist in North America, with the exception of Bill Nye,
the scientist that wrote the report disagree with you. But hold on,
that is not true. Which is the biggest joke of all of this, if you read the appendix. Because those scientists have come under fire. Because these are the guys that you hire if you want them to tell you that smoking doesn't cause cancer. That is these people. They are the ones that do
they are scientists for hire,
just like Ted Wells is a lawyer for hire.
It doesn't make sense. That doesn't make people want to sell threats.
Mark, he already explained that because the Patriots' dominance is hurting in the league. Haven't you seen how profits have gone down and how ratings have gone down?
Exactly.
It's killing the league. They got to kill the Patriots.
Let's make this the most interesting podcast in the world and take out our calculators and find out if you take the starting point.
Your motive is stupid.
You need to go.
Fine.
Patrick, fine. I have the Wells report right now. Tell me what page you're talking about. I mean, you're just
I don't have the Wells report right now.
A page you don't know. You didn't pull it up today. You could have. Like, I'm sorry. Check your
text messages from 2 months ago.
Hey, Mark. No, I don't want to text my
text messages from you from 2 months ago where I cited this.
I know, okay. But it's not enough, man. I'm just saying, I read the whole report today.
Okay, screw the report.
Definitely does not support anything you're saying.
Let's ignore.
You can't use the report, use the report. It's either, I don't know what to
let's, say. I'm trying to frame this up as best as I can. Take everything that's in that report that is a word and ignore it and look at the numbers.
We just can't do that, Patrick. I'm sorry.
Why can't you do that?
Because that would eliminate all the evidence that we have.
There's no evidence. It's all conjecture. There's no evidence in there.
Okay.
The only evidence in there is numbers. And the numbers are on the Patriots' side. The numbers, Mark, the numbers are on the Patriots' side. Everything else in there is conjecture that is not substantiated by any evidence. There's nothing in there. That's why there's no evidence of the conspiracy. That's why there's no smoking gun. That's why there's no videotape. That's why there's no specifics around what anybody actually did or said or knew or asked for. None of that is actually there.
What evidence? All right. So the numbers, like I said, I read all the numbers.
Other side. What evidence? Tell me the evidence. Tell me the evidence that you see.
The average drop of 0.45 to 1.02 in PSI in all of the balls in the Patriots games compared to the Colts. There's no scientific explanation for that.
Untrue. That is completely untrue. Why don't you take the ideal gas law and plug those numbers into the formula and see where you come out?
Man, it's really tough.
No, just do the math.
You're arguing without any art. You have no facts in front of you, and you're trying to make me
pull
this stuff up for you. What?
Do the math. I'm trying to make you do the math. Do the math on your own argument, Mark. You're not making this argument. You're saying that the numbers.
You, mathematician. I was a math major. What's your math you want me to do? What are you talking about?
I want you to apply the ideal gas law to the conditions that are.
What is the ideal gas law? Can you tell me, since you're such an expert, tell me what that is. How does it function?
Why don't you flip through that report that you love so much, like it's a damn Bible, and you look at the ideal gas law that's stated in it, and then you plug the numbers in, and you put them in your little calculator, and it'll tell you what the range is. In fact, you don't even need to do that, because the Wells report tells you what the acceptable range is. Flip to the appendix from those scientists that you think are so great. It says what the acceptable range is in the appendix. Now,
and then, so what about
the problem is, and here's the problem. Here's the problem, Mark.
You're just screaming over me. This is the problem. You won't stop.
I'm trying to explain myself, but you won't let me explain myself, and then you're getting mad that I'm not explaining myself.
Because your explanation is to ignore anything.
But go ahead.
I'm telling you to ignore the conjecture.
Yeah, you're telling people to ignore anything that makes the Patriots look bad, but pay attention to you. That's your argument.
Pay attention to actual evidence. No. Rex, I'm saying look at actual evidence, not conclusions, right? Because the conclusions are not supported by the evidence.
What if the math doesn't work? Statistical evidence.
What statistical evidence?
I'm basically waiting my turn to speak, so I was just letting you guys finish.
No, that's fine, Dave. What statistical evidence are you talking about? When they put 42 points, that's statistical evidence?
Ron, hold on. I want to hear you. And we all want to hear you, but please remember, don't say anything that could implicate the Patriots, because Patrick will tell you to ignore that, or he'll yell out.
You know what? I'll listen to Ron's accusations about as much credibility as I listen to anything in the Wells report. So go ahead, Ron.
Okay, so everybody would know, and football players would know, that a deflated ball is easier to hang on to.
Is this a stupid fumble thing?
I know it's not stupid, man. I got numbers right here that show it's not stupid. And I do want to be able to say my point and say these numbers.
The inflated ball
is easier to hang on to than a more full ball. That's for sure. From 2000 to 2006, when Belichick was the coach of the team, he became coach in 2000, as you know better than me. Their fumble rate, their fumbles per touch, were right in line with the league. In line with the league. All of a sudden, in 2007, something changed. They went from 39 touches per fumble to 76 touches per fumble. In 2007 is when Brady and Peyton Manning went to petition the league to say, we want to change the rule to where it's not just the home team that controls the balls. We want just the offense to control the balls so we can have it the whole way. So from 2007 to 2014, all of a sudden, an outside inclement weather North team became the number one team in not fumbling every single year.
You're not losing possession.
They were in the top five. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Do you mean in not losing possession, or do you mean in not fumbling?
I'm saying not fumbling. Not fumbling, because possession or not possession, that's really very random. Even fumbles, that's the thing, is fumbles are supposed to be very random. If you look at all the other teams, everyone's pretty much up or down. Dome teams perform better than non-dome teams. Teams that play in a little better weather perform better than teams that play in inclement weather. But all of a sudden, the Patriots magically in 2007 had some magic formula that put them so far above everybody else, right when the rule changed, right when Brady petitioned to say he wanted the ball to be the way he did. He even said, the thing is, every quarterback likes it a little different. Some like it them blown up a little more. Some like them a little thin. So
how far above Ron is that happening?
I'm sorry?
How far above, Ron?
I didn't understand you.
How far above everybody else did it put them?
Oh, 76 touches per fumble. The next team below that was 54, and that was New Orleans, a dome team.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. Guys,
have we talked about this before in the podcast?
Close. I'm sorry?
No, Ron,
because you knew. Mark, Rex, have we talked about this before in the podcast? Before we devote a lot of time to it?
No, go for it.
I don't know. Wasn't your argument is that they just practice on it harder, even though practice time has been cut down?
No, I'm saying that fumbles per touch is a skewing metric. It's been debunked by statisticians, just like.
And how? I'm giving you numbers because you say you want numbers in math.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I asked for it. That's fine. I'm not prepared because I didn't prep for this call. But like, if you Google the title of that article that you're reading, you'll find a dozen other articles debunking it. It's specifically biased.
I'm interestingly waiting, because the thing is, as you say, well, they focus on it more, that's coaching. Well, if it's
I didn't
coaching,
say that. That was Rex that said that.
Well, even Rex, if you say that it's coaching, then how come those coaches, the assistant coaches, the coordinators, when they leave and go to the other teams, they can't take this magic with them?
They don't take any magic with them. They've all failed.
Yeah.
Every assistant coach that's left here has failed.
And then how come the fact that all the players that either came from another team and came to the Patriots had an extreme change in the way that in their fumbles per touch or left, in the fumbles per touch.
Yeah. Well, you want to talk to Simon, the Bengals super fan, about that, because the departing players' numbers are heavily skewed, because we had a wide receiver on our bench that never played for us, so he couldn't really fumble. And when he went to Cincinnati, he became their kick returner and fumbled like 8 times. So
if
you remove him from the equation,
so it's an even scale. It doesn't matter.
If you remove him from the equation, then the departing players' fumbles are in line with what they were at the Patriots. But
no, I've got a list of 13 players right here. I can just take off one at a time.
Take Kate right off that list and remove his 8 fumbles with him and see what the fumble count is.
What are you talking about?
Right?
One player? Which player are you even talking about?
Yeah, the guy with 8 fumbles is what I'm talking about, because they're all on kick returns. And he didn't return kicks for the Patriots, and he didn't play wide receiver for the Patriots. He was a scrub that got cut. Also remove anybody in there that was only on the practice squad, or anybody on there that didn't actually receive any actual touches with the Patriots, because, you know, Wes Welker and Randy Moss were too busy taking up all the PT. You know,
even Wes Welker is the case in point on his fumbles per touch went way up after.
Yeah, so did his concussion count and his games missed. Well, like,
he had a concussion,
he
fumbled more? That is the dumbest argument I've ever heard in my life, man.
No,
dude is
not playing football anymore. Hey, Ron, the guy's not playing football anymore. Okay?
Oh,
he fell off the face of the map.
Concussion, and that's why he fumbled. I've never heard
every one of his stats went down. He's an ineffective player now. That's why he doesn't play football.
So the fact is, a team that controls the turnover battle.
It's not because he went to a team that had two other solid receivers. That's why his stats went down.
He fumbled more.
You're right, Rex. He's great. I can't believe he's not starting in the league right now or even in it. You're right. He's very good.
I just said his stats went down
because he couldn't get on the field. They didn't pay the guy what they paid him to go in there and not play. Like, I love Wes Welker, and I hate to speak ill of him,
but
I have a signed Wes Welker jersey on my wall right now.
He wasn't the game in town. I mean, with New England, he was catching 100 passes a game because he was the only game in town. He goes to Denver, and now he's got two or three other solid receivers around him. Of course his stats are going to go down.
And his fumbles went up, so he touched the ball less and still fumbled it more. That's just amazing, just some weird coincidence. There's like a list of 15 players that happened to. I mean, the fact is, when you control the turnover battle, you control the game. 79% of teams win the game, mm-hmm. if they control the turnover battle regardless of any other statistic, period. Yep. So it doesn't matter how bad the Patriots played or how good the other team played. If the Patriots are controlling that turnover battle, they're winning games. So what?
How long does it take Tom Brady to release the football?
From 9-7 and 10-6 seasons become 11-5 and 12-4. The difference between taking playing in the playoffs in the first game versus taking a bye week, playing at home versus playing on the road, the difference
because
between going to the Super Bowl and not even making it to the Super Bowl.
Ron, I've never talked to you before. How long have you been watching the Patriots games? How long have you been watching Patriots games? I've never talked to you before. How long have you been? Yeah.
A lot. I mean, that's probably.
How about, give me years. Give me years, Ron. I don't know who you are. Give me years.
Years? I'd say since probably before, like Bledsoe years. I mean, probably in the mid-90s.
Okay, cool. What was the Patriots' offense before they got Welker and Moss? How did they win football games?
How did they win before Welker and Moss?
How did they win football games?
I'd say they were a run-heavy team. For
they sure. ran the football and they played defense. You think you're going to fumble more when you run the football?
It includes wide receivers and running backs. It includes
I know. When's your higher propensity to fumble? When you're running the ball? Your highest propensity to fumble is on a blindside quarterback sack, followed by running the football up the middle. Those are two things that don't happen with the Patriots because Tom Brady releases the football in 2.6 seconds, right?
Tough to
have a guy come around the edge on him in 2.6 seconds.
But you know what? I don't have those stats in front of me, but I'm telling you right now,
they run draws when they're winning. Like it's because Tom Brady's throwing the ball around so much that people drop the safeties. Like this has nothing to do with Balghazi, but it does
it
have to do with statistics.
It's statistical proof, the math you were looking for, and the fact that it all changed in 2007 right after that rule got changed. That is not just some magic. That is not coincidence. The fact is they've been deflating the ball since 2007, and it's giving them a huge advantage.
You've read one article on this. You've read one article on this during this entire time when this is the biggest story in arguably sports, definitely in the NFL in the last 6 months. This is the biggest story. You've read one article on it. Why? All of the math has been debunked.
What I've not read.
All right, how many articles have you read on this? How many articles have you read on the fumbling?
Hold on. We don't need to get into attacking each other. Hold on. You know the answer to that, Ron. Patrick likes to just go attacking people.
I've read several, but you don't know what I've read because you really don't know me.
Hold on. Tell me. I'm asking you. How many articles have you read on this?
It doesn't matter,
Patrick. Tell me more than one.
His argument's
not that. What you just said, don't tell me how many you read. So I'm asking you. I'm asking you to tell me how many you read.
I don't know, you've read an article.
It's more than one article that it's been debunked, and that's why nobody else references it, and then I'll back off.
Just like everything before, if it's numbers put right in your face, you just ignore that. Ignore that.
I'm not ignoring it. I'm telling you that article has been debunked.
Nothing to see here, right?
It's been debunked. But it's some jackass that doesn't understand.
I'm waiting for somebody to debunk it.
When
you
say, exactly.
I'll email you a link when I get back to the computer.
Patrick, this is the problem. You can't just say everything's been debunked and you're bringing nothing to the table.
I understand that.
You understand. You know, like you're
this
just
is
saying,
why we just short prep. If I knew we were talking about this, I would have prepped for it. Like, that's,
all
I
those
get
articles
it.
You read, you need to send. We don't have any of them. Please post them. Like, post them to our Twitter account, please. Like, we'd love to see all these articles that debunk all this.
I will make you a bet. Ron, do you tweet?
Yes, I do.
I'm going to send you this article. When I send it to you, I want you to tweet it.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. I mean, I'll tweet it.
Okay.
Patrick, I'll make you a bet.
95% of my followers are Dolphins fans, so I don't know how
that's,
much
that's
going to
that's who I want to read it. That's fine. I don't need Patriots fans to read it. That's fine. I'll send it to you, and you can send it to your Dolphins fans.
No, I'll be glad to debunk. I will be glad. I'll do it when I tweet out this show. I'll tweet out that article, too. Please send it to me.
Deal.
There's a couple things out of the Wells report I still want to bring up. Patrick, please let me get them all out before you attack me. I want to hear talk about Jim. Just let me say some other things that are in the Wells report. I want to hear your response, but let me get them all the way out before you attack
awesome.
Them.
Okay.
Jimmy McGarry,
do you want them one at a time? Do you want them one at a time, or do you want like the whole?
I'll do one at a time. So I'll just tell you. So all right. Good. I just want to hear your thoughts on. So what about the text exchange between we have Jim McNally and John Jastrzemski? I don't know if I'm saying his name's right. Jim is the locker room attendant. John is the Pats equipment assistant. There are months of texts of them right back and forth. They're quoted in the Wells report, like they're there. It's not summaries, and they talk frequently about this. You know. needing to deflate the balls, that we want the needle. I'm going to make sure I get you a needle, which the one guy who's using the needle shouldn't ever have them. Like the guy who's, you know, doing the official, like he's the official, yeah. The guy, what was that?
I'm the just nodding my head. Sorry.
So he has to get a needle from the other guy, right? They openly talk about it. They obviously talk about Brady. Brady's clearly involved in this. And then the final thing is just on the night of, when it goes down, there's the text right to Jastrzemski from Brady that he's like, to be quoting, "You good, Johnny boy, you doing good." And then Jastrzemski responds back, still nervous. So far, so good, though. And then later responds, he just puts, "FYI, Dave," who is the equipment manager for the whole team, "will be picking your brain later about it." This is Jastrzemski talking to Brady. He's not accusing me or anything, just trying to get to the bottom of it. He knows it is unrealistic. You did it yourself. So I just want to hear from someone, from you, what the hell are these two guys texting about deflating balls if it's not for this purpose? And why is the Jastrzemski texting Brady and saying, "I don't think they think you did it yourself"? What is he talking about? So just, I'd love to hear your thoughts on those things.
Okay, so that's a lot for bullet number one. They span like a year and a half. All right, let me preface this with saying that I've argued that nowhere in the Wells report, that the Wells report is filled with conjecture and saying that this is what this meant. I'm going to interpret it this way. And you're asking me to do that, right? And I'm going to do it, but I'm prefacing it by saying, I don't actually know. Like, I'm about to jump to a bunch of conclusions here, none of which should be taken particularly seriously. Fair?
Fair. But then I just want to hear something that's reasonable. But go ahead.
That's cool. So my favorite one of these was that, my favorite one is the deflator comment, right? Because that's when the tide really turned. That's when people are like, here's the proof. He referred to himself as a deflator. Obviously, he's deflating the footballs. It's like, that text was sent in May. There were no footballs being deflated. If he was deflating anything, it's probably a basketball. But it couldn't be more in the off season. They were nowhere near training camp. It was during the draft.
There's no point in you don't think there's any point in all these texts that I read today that indicate that they deflated footballs? You don't believe that at all?
Hold on. Whoa, you said you're going to let me go through this.
No, go ahead. I'm just making sure. You seem to be making the argument that it's like, I was talking about a basketball. It's like, whoa, it is clear they deflated footballs. So I'm just making sure
I think they took thousands of text messages, thousands. These guys texted like every 10 minutes, like not just to each other, to everybody, but like also to each other. They were like 16-year-old girls. It was ridiculous. And they took a handful of text messages and tried to wrap a story around them. And they took them from radically different parts of the year, which makes the whole thing just seem weird, right?
Right, on October 23rd and 24th where they, in 2 weeks in succession, talk about, I'm going to make sure you have your needle so you can deflate the balls. Like, that's during the season. It's back-to-back weeks. They openly talk about, like, I just think you're stretching, Patrick.
Hold on. Does a guy that inflates footballs need a needle? Yes. Does he need a needle to deflate footballs? Yes. Does he need a needle? Does he need a needle to deflate and inflate them to get them to exactly 12 and a half PSI? Yes.
You don't understand. The other dude, he's talking about getting the other guy the needle. So you should read the report. The guy
I've read the report.
I'm just telling you what it says. I don't know if you did or not. I'm telling you what it says. It says, clearly in text, the guy says, I'm going to get you a needle. And the other guy, there's no reason for him to have one. And he's the dude who was doing the deflating. So,
What was the text around it?
Oh, man. I mean, it's like just specific.
Oh, I'm sorry. They don't have them. They don't have the text around it? Okay. No, well, then I guess we'll just take it on its face, Ben. Instead of taking it on its face, we'll apply it to whatever statement Wells is making in probably six paragraphs above and below it.
October 23rd, Jastrzemski says, "Can't wait to give you your needle this week." McNally replies, "Fuck Tom. Make sure you pump the needle.
Todd's going to be mad, by the way. Edit that out.
It's fine. But then effing watermelon's coming. Then Jastrzemski says, so angry, McNally. The only thing
you're saying he's going to overinflate them? That's what you're saying? This is after the Jets game. I know exactly what you're talking about. Jets, the balls were inflated to 16 PSI. Tom was livid. Because guess what? Tom Brady, as much as I love him, isn't a sweetheart. I don't want to hang out with Tom Brady. Like, he's like the model guy. Everybody wants to be Tom Brady, but I don't want to be around Tom Brady because he's a dick, right? So, okay, something isn't exactly perfect in the way he wants it. He goes all wide receiver on them and throws a little prima donna princess party. That's not surprising that he's always done that. Like, the only guy worse than Tom Brady at that was Dan Marino, just to bring Ron back into the conversation.
They openly discuss sneakers and cash.
Dan Marino was a total dick.
Yeah.
They openly discuss cash and sneakers in the very next text. I think that the context of their acting is not there, is all right there.
You're saying that guys that work at football stadiums don't get cash and sneakers from players for everything? I forgot about this. They didn't get the sneakers from Brady. They stole the sneakers. That was in the report, right? They took the sneakers from the locker room, and they probably should have been fired just for that, but whatever. The best part of these texts was the jacket comment, where it's like, why don't you deflate and give me that jacket? And that was sent, somebody actually did a screen cap of this, that was sent at exactly the moment during the Green Bay game when the one dude was actually holding up a jacket on screen. It's like, if you actually look at the timestamp on the text, it's in the timestamp on the TV and sync them up, he's standing there holding a jacket up in the air, looking like somebody should be wearing it, which is awesome. But you know, prior to somebody sending out that screen grab, that was further evidence that, you know, we're going to deflate footballs and you're going to give me clothes for it. It's like, no, there's just no context provided. And when somebody actually pulled up the screen grab, then all of a sudden people stopped talking about it like it was some sort of damning proof rather than just a couple of idiots texting back and forth about everything in their lives.
But okay. Ron and Rex, anything left?
I got one for you guys.
Whoa,
this is a good one.
Patrick.
I want my turn to ask you guys a question because I've been getting a lot.
Okay.
All right?
Go ahead.
And you guys have all read the Wells report. You seem to be well-versed in it. You've read all through these text messages. You seem to have those memorized, right? I want to know at what point ever, anywhere, does Tom Brady ask for balls to be deflated below 12.5 PSI? Anywhere.
It isn't there.
It isn't there. Nowhere is it there.
Yeah, but that's
so why is he being hung out to dry for deflating the below 12 PSI?
Possibly because it was on the text messages that he never turned over the evidence.
Murder case
he doesn't have to. Right, he doesn't have to turn over his phone. They have the recipient's phone. If they're text
you're
messages,
right. So what,
they have
what,
all the
what
text
you were
messages
asking,
from
Tom. Patrick, what
no,
you were
no.
asking is for
Mark
the Wells
just read
report.
Tom Brady's text messages. He just read
what
them.
What you were asking is for the Wells report to provide absolute evidence. Even though they did not have
good,
power. Patrick, let me ask you this. You yourself have said that you have not read the report that came out today.
I did not say that. Oh, the report that came out today. Yes, that's true.
The report that came out today. There's two points I'd like to hear your opinion on. And I'm going to – basically what Goodell did is he broke it down into what looks like about 7 points. Point four, after the footballs were examined and certified by the referee, but still prior to the start of the game – without the knowledge or approval of Mr. Anderson. Now, Mr. Anderson is Walt Anderson, the head of the refrigerators, officials.
Sure. Yep.
Or any other member of the starting officiating crew, Mr. McNally left the officials' locker room with the Patriots footballs and went into a bathroom where he remained behind a locked door for approximately 1 minute and 40 seconds. Mr. McNally initially told NFL investigators that he had walked directly from the officials' locker room to the field.
Yep.
Mr. McNally's unannounced removal of the footballs from the locker room was a substantial breach of protocol, one that Mr. Anderson had never before experienced. Other referees interviewed by the investigators said that they, too, would have considered Mr. McNally's actions to be a breach of protocol and that he had not engaged in similar contact in games that they worked for at Gillette Stadium. Now, Patrick,
they have on video tape doing that, but that's okay.
What is your opinion of that, and then I want to go to the other point.
Okay, well done, well phrased. So,
frankly, I can't take credit for that. That was Goodell's words.
No, not. I'm sorry. I meant breaking it down in a structured format. But, so my opinion of it is that I think it's a little fishy that earlier in this argument, Mark said that they couldn't possibly get through all of the Colts balls and Patriots balls in the time allotted. They did it as fast as humanly possible, I think is the phrase that he used, when this short, fat 50-year-old man was able to get in and out of a locked bathroom with a sloped floor, mind you, in 90 seconds and deflate them all to precisely the amount where Tom Brady, who's the ultimate prima donna, which has already been covered, and exacting in his specifications, wanted them. And he was able to do it in 90 seconds, but a room full of guys with multiple gauges couldn't get it done in 22 minutes. So that's why I think that whole thing is insane. You mentioned Walt Anderson. I tried bringing this up earlier. I didn't quite get through it. One of the things that I think is the biggest problem that I have with the Wells report, the absolute biggest problem I have with the Wells report, is that they asked Walt Anderson where he inflated balls. He said, I checked them all. They were all at 12 and a half. That seems a little loosey-goosey to me, but fine. Like, he was probably giving it the attention that it deserved. Frankly, he might be the only one that's ever done that. All at 12 and a half. Which gauge did you use? I used the gauge with the logo on it. Okay. Well, Wells threw that out and said, and he went to like three paragraphs explaining why, but he decided that, well, that he was mistaken, that Walt Anderson did not, in fact, use the gauge with the logo on it. He used the other gauge without the logo on it. Because if you use the gauge without the logo on it to do the math that I keep talking about, then it looks like the Patriots' balls were all well under where they should have been with the ideal gas law. If you use the logo gauge, then they're not. Then they're all well within line for where they should be with the ideal gas law. So, you know, that's fine, I guess. We can count on Ted Wells and his memory to say exactly what the starting points of these balls should have been when they weren't recorded anywhere. But when he tells you what gauge he used to come up with those numbers, we're going to ignore them because that doesn't fit our preconceived notions and the argument that we're trying to make. Anyway,
okay.
Point number two.
All right, point number two. His seventh point. Mr. Brady, through his attorneys, declined to... Yeah. Now, I want to preface this, remembering the to preserve evidence thing that you knew. Point seven. Mr. Brady, through his attorneys, declined to provide the investigators with access to highly relevant electronic information, such as emails and text messages. The investigators had confirmed their earlier request for such information by email to Mr. Brady's lawyer's agents on February 28, 2015, and they reiterated their request when they interviewed Mr. Brady on March 6, 2015. He did so despite the very substantial protections offered by the investigators to maintain the privacy of his personal information. On this basis, as well as the Wells Report's conclusions that Mr. Brady's denials of involvement in the tampering scheme were not credible, I found that Mr. Brady failed to cooperate with the investigators. And then he goes on, this is quite long, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he goes on about how Brady had, freely admits that he had the phone destroyed the very day that he was supposed to go and turn it in. And it's just all a bunch of coincidence here, and it does not look good for him.
That's not a coincidence at all. He clearly deliberately did that.
And why would someone innocent do that?
So let me harken back to an earlier part of the discussion where
let's remember someone who's not by all, not even by most, but by a substantial minority whose legacy is being questioned. Why would someone facing that do that?
I don't think it's by a substantial minority. I think his legacy is in question. I think he's going to sue for defamation of character, and I think he's going to win. But that's beside the point. That's a future podcast. Your question is, why would he... I guess I'll unpack it. Like, why would he refuse to cooperate? Well, he didn't refuse to cooperate. Even Ted Wells said he didn't refuse to cooperate. He sat in a room for 5 hours and answered questions from, FBI interrogators. And I am not...
But they didn't provide the investigators with highly relevant electronic information.
Hold on, Rex. I'm getting to that, okay? One, that it's highly relevant is completely speculative. If they knew what was in it, then they would know what was in it. They wouldn't even need it, right? So that they're hoping that something is in there is the implication, right? That's not highly relevant. Number two, they had all the text messages. They probably had all the emails, too, because they would have them from the recipients. They did have them. Mark cited them earlier, right? He read me Tom Brady's text messages and wanted to know what they meant. We never got to that.
They don't have Tom Brady. Oh, yeah, they have the one, but that's, they have just that one
set.
They weren't able to get more. Once he destroyed, and I don't know the details of the forensic scientist.
But what else would they, what else would they get? And let's stop and think about who we're talking about for a second here, right? And again, like, I don't want to necessarily treat Tom Brady like he's somehow held separately from the rest of the league, because he's not. He's actually protected by the league rules, which prohibit Ted Wells from demanding his personal cell phone. But whatever. Let's say that Ted Wells can demand his personal cell phone and do whatever the hell he wants.
Hold on, Patrick. Remember what you said right there, and yep. We'll come back to that.
We can come back to that. Okay. So, anyway, who is Tom Brady? Well, he's a quarterback for the New England Patriots. Everybody knows that. He also sits on the board of Under Armour, who I believe is in your hometown. He's a part owner of Under Armour, Rex. And he's married to arguably the most famous woman in the world. I couldn't pick her out of a lineup because I don't care about models. But guess what? Candid photos of her go for $110,000 a piece to tabloids. So somebody that has access to a cell phone has emails concerning his business ventures. They have photos of his family. They have everything that's on your cell phone, they have on Tom Brady's cell phone, except that his, and I hate to be mean to anybody on this call, I'm including myself in it, are way more valuable and important than anything that you have on your cell phone. And they're damaging possibly to him, possibly to his wife, possibly to his business ventures. And let's couple let's couple that with the fact that to the point where this happened, how many leaks had come out of the NFL league office concerning this case? When they opened up by saying there would be no leaks, there's what, half dozen, a dozen? No one in that office can be trusted with sensitive information. I think that's probably pretty clear at this point. If you love the Patriots and you hate them, you have to at least admit that. So why would Tom Brady give up his cell phone to them when there was no information on it that they would need, because they had it all already? They had all communications between him and the team, members of the team, any of that, because it would have been on the Patriots servers or would have been on the recipient cell phone. If they really wanted to, they could probably subpoena the wireless provider, although I don't think they would really have to, because, again, they had all the recipient's information. So there was nothing to be gained from that. So if I'm Tom Brady and I'm in a position where I'm dealing with a room full of people that I cannot trust, that clearly are out to get me or my team or a teammate of mine or an employee or somebody, but clearly, they're there on a witch hunt. They're clearly.
Yes, clearly.
Why am I giving them anything?
Yes, they're clearly on a witch hunt to get the Patriots because their success is hurting the league. You've made that clear.
Don't put my conclusions into what otherwise is obvious, right? That my theory is that that's why they're doing it. I don't know why they're doing it, but it's obvious that it's being done.
So we should probably think about wrapping up at some point, guys. I know we can go on forever with this. I just want to give everyone a final chance to kind of go around and chat, like their last ideas. Ron, do you have anything you want to add before we come up, or anything else you'd like to cross with? I mean, Rex, did you have more stuff to go over before actually I cut that off?
Just real quick, what Patrick said is that he is an employee of the league, and he is bound by the rules of the league. And the rules of the league said Roger Goodell has every right to do exactly what he did. Now, Patrick,
well, Roger Goodell didn't do anything, right? Roger Goodell farmed out all the work, so he wouldn't have to make a decision because his hand's dirty. Troy Vincent didn't actually have one of the problems is that Troy Vincent didn't actually have the authority to execute the penalty.
Patrick, one of the problems, one of the sticking points is that people like the fact that Roger Goodell also was the mediator, but that's perfectly within his right to do, and the players agreed to this.
I know. Okay. They're stupid. They should have done that.
I don't know. I don't know if you knew something else, and you said he's going to win in a lawsuit. No, he has not, because at the same time when they did this, the league, they let me make sure I get notes because I want to make sure I did it correctly.
And that no employee can sue the league. You might want to look at your track record of employees suing the league. It happened like twice last year.
Almost at the same time, the NFL put in an injunction with New York. Let me make sure I didn't highlight that port. Okay. The NFL, in close proximity to publishing the final decision to uphold the 4-game suspension against Brady, filed a lawsuit in a New York federal court seeking to have the court confirm the arbitration decision. Losing parties in arbitration have the right to petition the vacant to vacate an award. Similarly, prevailing parties, blah, blah, blah. Federal courts typically follow the first filed rule. When there are two actions with overlapping parties, which Tom Brady assumably will do, and issues are filed in separate jurisdictions, the jurisdiction that first received the filing will typically oversee the dispute. Thus, if Brady wants to play ball in court, it will be in the NFL stadium, New York.
Wow, harsh. Didn't you say that to overturn arbitration, you need to have an unfavorable decision? Because how is upholding your own decision unfavorable? That seems like it'll be thrown out on its face. But whatever, this isn't a legal podcast. Let me ask you guys a question. How do you feel, all this arguing about the details aside, on its face? So loss of a first-round pick, loss of a fourth-round pick, suspension of your starting quarterback for four games. Does that seem about equitable to you guys? Does that seem right?
Can I answer this first?
Okay, go ahead.
I personally said, and Patrick, you can back this up. I've said all along he should have got two games. The other things I think are fine. As a matter of fact, I think Bill Belichick should have been suspended a year. It happened to Sean Payton. Why not Bill Belichick? Sean Payton didn't know anything about what was going on here, as Bill Belichick claims he didn't. But it's a lack of institutional control. I don't know why they're being easy on Bill Belichick, but they destroyed Sean Payton.
Because Tagliabue Boo went after them for destroying Sean Payton because they shouldn't have.
That's likely correct. I agree with what you're saying, but I think that's right, that because it got overturned, they were probably likely to not go so hard at Belichick when he didn't show direct involvement, even though he should be culpable for it.
Yeah, and that was one of their own that overturned it. That wasn't a court. That was Paul Tagliabue. That's
bad. Answer your question, I think Brady should have got two games.
You've been on record saying that, just not on this podcast. So
that's fully what I thought was going to happen. I thought that they were going to lay out four games to him, and then they would agree on two. But apparently,
it would have made Goodell look stupid if he did that. So they weren't.
Well, I don't think it would have made him look stupid. I don't think Brady agreed to two games.
Okay.
I think it was. This is just my theory. I think it was presented to him, and he said, "No, I don't want any games."
You might be right.
Well, then I got to do this.
You might be right. That's what I would do if I were Tom Brady. I mean, that's one of the things I would do if I were Tom Brady. It's a pretty long list.
Ron, what do you think? Is this appropriate? Is the four games appropriate?
Actually, I just feel like if Brady had maybe come out and just perhaps said a little bit more of the truth than he did, I feel like, honestly, it's an equipment violation. And normally an equipment violation is a $25,000 fine and we move on.
Yeah, and it's actually not enforced on a player because players have no control of equipment. So that's a separate issue.
Then it's just a fine on them because Brady's not actually the one that deflated the balls. So it's really all about the process and it getting blown up so big that caused it. That's just my personal opinion. Now, I feel like the fines against the team are valid, and I think they should be upheld, and that's based off, what I said before, and you can agree or disagree with it. That's just based off what I said before, because I feel like
you think it's the most egregious offense in the history of the NFL? That's what you're saying? The fine is commensurate with the act? That's what you're saying?
Yeah, but I don't understand how you can say it's the most egregious fine, because the penalties levied against the Saints are much harsher than these.
What are the penalties levied against the Saints?
Your coach fired. Your coach gone for the entire year. Players gone for the entire year.
I'm talking about the first, the fourth, and the $1 million. That's never been done.
Yeah, but again, I still point back to the huge competitive advantage I feel they've gained since 2007.
And Sean Payton's a solid coach. Yeah, not true. we'll tweet that out later.
I know you deny the first one, but since they did get punished for cheating the first time, there's also the fact that they're the only team that's been punished for cheating in this way twice, you know? And so, it's a bigger punishment for that, too.
Right. Hold on. You think that weakens my argument that they're the only team that's been punished for cheating like this twice? What about the Vikings doctoring balls on the sideline during a game with a camera trained on them? What about the Bears doing the same thing? What about the pumping in of the crowd noise from the Falcons? How are those different other than the fact that there's clear evidence that they did them? Like, what's the difference?
The reason they're different is because all those teams admitted guilt.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. So you're saying that the Patriots should have said that.
And saying, no, they didn't do it. What are you talking about?
So the Patriots should have said that.
Cheating.
So the Patriots should have said that 2 + 2 = 5, right? Then we don't have a problem, right?
No,
like they should just pop the big brother and said, okay, whatever you say, Roger, because that's what they did the first time. That is what they did with Spygate. Roger Goodell came down with a hammer. He was a new sheriff in town. He's going to make an example, and he screwed them with what at the time was the biggest penalty in the history of the league for something completely innocuous. We had the camera set up in the wrong position. That's it. That's what the fine was. That's what it was.
They had been told not to do that several times. A memo had been passed around. That's why they got in trouble.
Wait, what?
A memo had already been passed around telling all the teams do not record the games in that way, and they kept doing it, just like Bountygate memos.
I know.
They kept doing it, and that's why they got hammered. Not necessarily for the offense, but for ignoring.
But for ignoring the league office.
The league.
Ignoring the memo. I know. Do you know why they ignored the memo?
Because
the league office
they're the Patriots, and they think they're better than everybody.
Yes, that is largely true. The reason they ignore the memo is because the league office doesn't have the authority to make a rule change during the year. Only the competition committee can make a rule change, and only in the off season. So they can't say you're not allowed to set up your camera here anymore. They can't do that, but they did it anyway. Right? That's fine. I agree. I agree that it's hubris on the part of Bill Belichick. And and Tom Brady does the same thing. He reads the rule book and he says, if those MFers can't think that this ball is like at too low a level, take this rule book into the officials' locker room and show them it can be at 12 and a half. I'm paraphrasing, but that is what he said, right? So Tom Brady's got it in him too. They know the rules. Other people don't know the rules. We're going to follow the rules and screw them if they can't follow the rules, right? Like, I get it. And that exacerbates problems. Like, I know that too. But to say that the Patriots are being fined for not copying to an accusation, and I know I'm going to bother you guys with this, where the math says they didn't do anything wrong, is insane. That is Big Brother saying that 2 + 2 = 5. Like, if you want to dust off your Orwell, like, that's what's going on, right? Like, you're fine as long as you agree with whatever Roger Goodell says. When you say that his math doesn't add up, now you got a problem.
To answer the question, what we were saying, what Ron and Rex just answered, for me, I'm way harsher than them. What we know, I think it's about an appropriate punishment. If it is true that Brady has been purposely underinflating balls since 2007, I literally think that he should be gone from the league, Belichick fired, take back the last Super Bowl. I mean, there's not a part. I don't think people understand. For someone like me, who's an Eagles fan, I've been a fan for 30 years, going on 35, I mean, if you really count me as a kid. And, like, we've never won one. You know what I mean? Like, to win a Super Bowl, man, I can't even. The day is going to be, don't even get me started. Because, like, exactly, I can tell you, I can bring up hundreds of recordings of Eagles fans believing you guys were cheating that day, too.
I know. Arlen Specter was one of them. Until he actually dug into it and then realized that Roger Goodell was actually the idiot in this whole thing. And then he died, unfortunately.
You'd love to talk over, man. If I could actually win a Super Bowl, you know what I mean? Like, if that is the biggest thing in the world to me, it would mean the largest thing almost anything I've ever accomplished. That and maybe having a kid at some point, right? These, like, the two bucket list items I have in my world. And so, if somebody's
cheating, one of those is pretty easy.
That is totally offensive to me and just ridiculous. And to this day, so I've seen enough that I think of you guys definitely cheated at some point between these two offenses that have happened. So that will always taint my view of you guys, but that's me. And I would, but I think given the facts that we
you're
have,
not alone. You're not alone.
It's going to be hard.
That's why this bothers me, is that you are not in the minority on this. You are in the very loud majority of people that just say the Patriots are cheaters and that's why they win. Well, bothers me.
It's not why they win. Don't get me wrong. To be clear, Bill Belichick is the best coach in the league. And when he – just bottom line, the end of that Super Bowl, how he won that Super Bowl, Pete Carroll, is one of the most genius coaching moves I've seen ever. That was incredible that he got that moron to throw the ball. And I don't even understand it. That was some Jedi stuff right there. That's blowing
I don't get
he
it
He's an amazing coach. And don't get me wrong, I have mad respect for him. And I have mad respect for Brady. But bottom line, just because I think they're amazing doesn't give – I don't give them the grant that they should cheat. And if they did, like I said, this isn't enough. I totally get what you're saying. I wouldn't take the Super Bowl. I called it they should have the Lombardi pulled based on this report. But if he was deflating for the past, like, you know, whatever, 15 years, like that, 10 years, that's bad. But you will never know. You know, we'll never know. And I think, bottom line, it's going to hurt his reputation enough, I guess, for me. I wish you guys got two games off so you'd beat Dallas in week five. That really is what's really bumming me out the most. So that just shows you what my integrity is. I mean, if I could get a Dallas win, I would totally step back. But
Mark, don't you think it's a problem when you say we don't know?
No, but no, I understand.
This is a bit harsh when you say we don't know what they've done.
That's a fair statement.
I understand. But no, and I totally get it. I just think that's why it's four games. I think if we had a smoking gun, man, it would be a big deal. And I think maybe that's why we don't have so much of a smoking gun, is because the NFL's protecting the shield, as it will.
I think when you go after the Golden Boy, you got to know. I don't think it's enough to
exactly.
say. I feel like I don't like this guy. He was a dick to me in the meeting. He didn't do exactly what I told him to do. So screw him. Like, I don't think that's nearly enough.
Yeah. I don't like to get – yeah, I totally hear you, man. Because, I don't want to get into that argument that this is, like, based on procedure. I think this is based on the fact that they think he deflated balls, and that's why he's getting four games. But, once again, they I totally agree with you, Patrick. Yeah. The NFL botched this. And they botch everything. I mean, the whole
– And they botch everything. That's part of it, too. You're absolutely right. They botch everything.
It is very true, man. They do not handle things well, and it's bad.
What else are they doing? Like, seriously, what else does Troy Vincent do other than, like – you know, pay mediocre free safety and count money. Like
what?
He gave a shot at both of them because he was a Dolphin and an Eagle. Nice shot.
I know. All right.
That's very convenient.
That was sour grapes.
He
was
a quarterback anyway, not a safety, but that's okay.
And you're right. I'm sorry. But okay. But like seriously, like what are they doing? Like, he just executed the first and only sting operation in the entire history of the NFL, and he couldn't have screwed it up worse. Like, what are they doing? And then they make it worse by hiring Wells to come in and try and prove his backward-ass theory, because they had to justify him storming the locker rooms like a stormtrooper, you know, dragging everybody in off the field during the nationally televised championship game. It's like, and then everything is botched after that. And I mean, everything is botched after that. It's like, how can they be this inept when really there's not a lot that they actually do? It's insane. Like, how do I get that job, please?
Ron and Rex, to close off, anything left? Anything else you guys want to say before we wrap up today?
Oh, man, I'm just ready for camp to start so we can put this crap behind us and start talking about actual football being played.
Seriously, real football. I hear that.
Just ready for football, man. That's why we're all so pumped, like, going crazy about this. There ain't nothing else to talk about for another couple days. Yeah. Just ready to talk about actual football practice, something, you know? Give me something.
I wish I could share your stance on that, but I got to go watch Jimmy Garoppolo throw the ball around and try and see if he can block it. So, yeah.
What do you think?
I actually think that he's going to push this through court, and that Brady will not see it. And we'll put it on record. Brady's not going to see a game of suspension this year. I won't say it will never happen, but I say this year he does not see a game of suspension. He will be there on that opening night, Thursday night game. You're probably right. He will be there playing.
That's bold. I mean, I just don't trust courts ever to go quickly. But if that happened, that'd be amazing. That'd be a big win for Brady.
Yeah.
What do you think, Rex?
Let's see.
I predict two things. I predict he will serve his four-game suspension. There's nothing, anything in the court is going to do about it. And going back to what Ron said about the fumbles, and I said this on our blog, I predict that miraculously, the Patriots fumbling per touches will fall down to everyone else in the league, and it'll be amazing.
It'll be an amazing coincidence.
I cannot wait.
And it, you know what? You'll have to really see that data over a few years' time. You can't really necessarily look at one game, 1 year. A couple years' time, you're going to see them go right back to the average where they were. Amazing.
What is the Pats' record after week five? What do you think, Patrick? How are they going to do in these first four games with Brady, without Brady?
I think they could split either way. I mean, the thing about the Patriots, this is true both at a micro level and a macro level. They win over the long haul. They win individual games by, controlling the line of scrimmage, winning the turnover battle, moving the ball down the field, taking high percentage throws, and like completing 12 play drives that usually end up in a field goal, sometimes a touchdown, but usually a score. And then the other team has to do the same, and they like to sling it around. And, you know, you guys know about that. You know, with Flacco and Tannehill, they like to sling it. I mean, less so Tannehill, I suppose. They like to sling it around, and, you know, they can keep pace with the Patriots for the most part, but eventually end up throwing a pick or doing something bad, taking a deep sack while trying to scramble. They end up making some sort of mental error, and then the Patriots end up winning by 3 games. And, Mark, you remember winning by 3 games. You know, so
3 points, yeah.
3 points, 3 points. They end up winning by 3 points, and they string together a season like that, and they win a lot of close games, and they lose a couple of close games, usually at the start of the year when they're trying to iron out their kinks and figure out who their starting linemen are going to be on both sides of the line, or who their starting corners are going to be, and they have positions in flux. And their defensive backfield is really, really bad. Like, it's going to be really bad this year. I'd like to think that Malcolm Brown is the next Deion Sanders, and that'll be awesome. It's probably not going to happen, right? Their line was suspect last year, and they have a couple of rookies that are going to be contending for one, if not both, guard spots this year. That's not great because Tom Brady doesn't get sacked a lot. Tom Brady doesn't get sacked a lot coming around the edge because he has a 2.4-second release time, 2.7-second release time. Doesn't allow enough time for guys to come over the edge unless they're Cameron Wake. You know, and that goes away when you have inefficient guard play and Tom Brady can't stay in the pocket or step up, right? So we're going to have some struggles on the offense. We're going to have some struggles in the defense. We're going to give up like 450 yards through the air every single game. You know, and yeah, dude, and it's happened before. It's like,
yeah, I know.
Our defensive backfield is bad. It's not, I mean, people talk about our front seven being good and great. Our front seven's good. They're still going to just, you know, take a bunch of seven step drops on Corkett and throw deep on us all day long. We're going to give them a ton of yards. We're going to give up a decent amount of points. Hopefully we can track in the red zone and force a turnover here or there. And Tom Brady can match, you know, on the other side of the ball, assuming he's playing, and march us down the field and keep scoring to keep pace. And then hopefully we get up over the hump a little bit at the end of the game and we win a bunch of close games. But, I mean, maybe we go 10-6, 12-4. And I don't know if Tom Brady by himself is the deciding factor in either, honestly, because he can't play defense. You know, he can't protect himself. Like his wife says, he can't throw the ball and catch it too. He also can't, you know, throw the ball and block for himself. Right. So it's like the Patriots is as awesome as they are in, you know, over the history of that, I guess, the Belichick era. Every individual game is kind of a nail biter. Right. So it's like, I don't take anything for granted. And Ron, you knew at this, but, you know, on the AFC East preview show a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I listened to that show.
Oh, you listened to that show? Somebody, like,
yeah, I went back and listened to all the episodes here over the last week.
You mean you were starting as an early listener and you listened to every show in real time as they happened?
No, I went back in the last week and listened to all the I have a long drive to work, guys, so I had
time to listen
to the podcast.
Yeah, that's when I listened to. But the AFC East, like, it gets a reputation for being like a bad division. It's not a bad division. The Patriots hang a couple of losses on every team in the division. But those are usually pretty tightly contested games. It's not like we just stomp the Jets every year, as much as I'd love that to be true, you know, put up 40 on them every game. Like, no, like, we're usually in a neck-and-neck battle that comes down to the last series. And, I mean, that's a little less true with the Dolphins, but it's getting to be more true. And, you know, the Bills sneak up on us all the time. And with Rex Ryan up there, like, that's not a coach I like to play. And with Matt Castle there, and I know they're saying he might not make it out of camp. No, I've seen Matt Castle play. He's a pretty good quarterback. I mean, maybe he's done too, but people forget that when he went to Kansas City, he was really, really good the first year. So, like, do I think the Patriots are going to laugh this off and, you know, come out with a 14-2 record on the way to another Super Bowl? I don't think so. And I think when they lose 4 or 5 games, that people are going to point to this as the reason why. I don't think it's the reason why. But I think I'm going to hear about it for the rest of my life, just like I do about Spygate.
For sure. I don't envy you. But, yeah. I mean, I would take those Super Bowls in a second. Awesome, guys. Thank you so much for doing this. I think we should probably wrap up now. We actually, right here, let me see if this is Pod Vader. Somebody looks like they're calling in. Let me see if this is Pod. Pod, are you with us? Who's that?
What in the world are these people talking about?
Somebody gave me a microphone.
Stuff coming out of my this. This is absolutely mind-blowing! Traffic on the way home from a... Mookie Betts made the greatest catch in center field 2 feet in, then he flips over the bullpen wall, hits the ground, ground causes the fumble, yet they call him a home run. What in the world is wrong with my sports today? I don't get it.
Is it a good game, Pod?
Oh my God. And the things I am hearing on Boston Sports Radio are absolutely out of control.
Turn it off. They're all New York guys anyway. Like, we don't have any Boston guys on Boston Sports Radio. It's insane.
Oh, it's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. And you're absolutely right, Patrick. We're going to hear about this for the rest of our stinking lives. None of the Super Bowls matter. They're all marks. They're all asterisks. And come on. Trying to keep this family program, especially with the little one in the car.
Yeah, we might have a couple of problems with that, by the way.
I'll go back and edit. Is there anything you want to say as we close off, Pod?
The only thing I want to say, and I will say one of the more strange things I heard that almost sort of rings true, is you go back and think about how Kraft said he was going to fight this with all of his might.
Yep.
And then the ruling came out and he said, yeah, no, we're good. Well, we're not going to say anything. And in the Wells report, which is what, 100-something pages long, there's like, what, 2 paragraphs on Bill Belichick? The biggest control freak on the face of the planet.
Well, Bud, I hate to interrupt you on your own show, man, but Kraft said that he was going to fight it, and then the Wells report came out, and he got even madder, right? Mm. He didn't renege. He went, like, guns blazing. And then he had a little sit-down with Roger Goodell at a birthday party, where Goodell probably showed him some spreadsheets and talked about how much money they were going to make. This is my supposition that, you know, if the AFC East actually became competitive for a change, how much more money the league would make in TV revenue, then maybe he changed his tune a little bit. But I think he came out all fired up and hot because he just laid down and took it during Spygate and never defended themselves. And then they had to carry that albatross this entire time. He wasn't going to let that happen again.
And so this is where the conspiracy theory comes in, because you brought up Spygate. And rumor has it there's some sort of clause in the ruling from Spygate that if Bill Belichick is ever found to do something dirty or undermined or against the rules again, that he'll get banned for life from the NFL.
Yep.
And so Kraft had to make a decision who the fall guy was going to be for this particular infraction.
Mm-hmm.
Was it going to be Brady or was it going to be Belichick? And clearly, if Belichick took the ball, even if he doesn't get banned for life, now those Super Bowls really do get asterisks put on them forever. And we probably lose our Hall of Fame head coach for at least a year.
Yeah.
Brady takes the fall. He's got enough goodwill. Mm-hmm. He's the pretty boy. He's the spokesman. He's everything. He loses 4 games. He loses a few paychecks. Ultimately, he'll be all right. So I think there's a little bit of everything that just said rings true, but it's still pure ridiculousness. Oh.
Yeah, I don't buy that. That sounds like Roger Goodell held a gun out and said, pick one of your kids, I'm going to shoot. You know, that just doesn't sound about right to me. Like, I do think that there's clearly a whole lot of machinations at work. And, yeah, guys, I'm guessing is what they are. Like, I'm not standing here pretending that I know. Like, these are my theories and suppositions. But it's so patently obvious that things are being constructed, right? Like, it's so obvious that they are. Even something as simple as, you know what, we're going to drag our feet for weeks on coming up with a ruling on this just so that we have time to file in a preferable court to try and block any appeal. Well, that's something they've ever done before, right? That's a defensive move. Why would you do that if, like, justice were on your side and all was in the up and up, right? Like, it's just, this whole thing just smacks of like evil, rotten shenanigans by comic book villains that really can't come up with a coherent scheme that's ever going to work. You know.
The other thing is why does Tom Brady destroy his phone? What leads Tom Brady to destroy his phone on the day he's going to get interviewed? If you're a guilty party, why do you go and do that? First of all, why do you destroy your phone in the first place? Like, nothing of that makes any sense. Now the phone company is saying that you can't go back and get the records. That's BS. We know that the phone company sells that information to the government every single day. They've got the phone records for freaking 10 years more.
Yeah, more conspiracy against the Patriots?
The courts can go back and get it, though. But maybe Wells can't. Maybe even Goodell can. But the courts could go back and get it. So Wells and Goodell don't have subpoena power. The courts do. So if he takes it to court, that could end up happening.
I mean, they're $5 away from a subpoena. Like, anybody can get a subpoena. You can just go down to your local courthouse, pay your $5 for the form, get it stamped by the clerk of court, and boom, now you got a subpoena. Like, it's not hard.
So,
but,
I mean,
they have to justify it. They don't have a law case. They don't have a court case. So I guess you can't subpoena something without an action being present. So there's that.
That's the thing. You can't subpoena just like I can't go subpoena my friend to ask him some questions. I mean, it doesn't work that way. You got to have an actual court case going on. And at this point, maybe right now, there is no court case. So no subpoena power. So therefore, you can't go get those texts. Therefore, that's why Brady probably destroyed his phone.
Yeah, if they were serious about it, there would be a court case.
last thing I got for you, Patrick, is do you want Brady missing the first four or the last four of the season?
That's neither. A good question.
Neither. Why would I want either? Like, the whole thing is stupid.
Well, I
want the last four. Beat Dallas.
Let's say we don't win this. No.
Yeah. Okay, I see it. I see where you're going with this. Yeah, like okay, all of a sudden the injunction that Brady inevitably is going to file is thrown out for some weird reason, because that's never happened before. But let's say that hypothetically happens, that Brady's injunction attempt fails, because he's going to file in Minnesota probably, or Massachusetts, and it's probably going to be Massachusetts now that somebody brought New York into the mix. Okay, so Brady files in Massachusetts. Massachusetts refuses to hear it for whatever reason, and the suspension's upheld for four games. Like, okay, still going to sue him. Do I prefer, okay, I'm sorry, your question is, do I prefer the first four or the last four? Either. They're all regular season games. It doesn't matter.
Okay, so guys, I think we have to...
the screen we could have been on and avoided all this stupid traffic on the Mass Pike.
Why are you taking the Pike?
Let it go, really.
Why aren't you at 95? You live in Connecticut. Why are you on the Pike?
I'm not going 90. I don't want to go through Rhode Island. Way
out. Oh yeah, that would be a bad decision. You're right. Good. Okay. Bye.
Guys, I think we have to wrap up. We're coming up on an hour and a half. I will go back and try to cut this out so that the place where we totally lose it, it comes back together. Thank you for the debate. I really want to thank especially Patrick for getting in front of the fire squad. Very bold. Thank you for being patient as you did that. Rex, Ron, for your first show. Thank you, Ron. Pod, awesome that you called in at the end. That is great. Next fan up, follow us at NFU Podcast on Twitter. You can also check for us on iTunes and at Facebook. Just type in Next Fan Up and you will find us. Thank you so much for listening, everybody.
Well, we're on to Cincinnati.
That's right. We're on to Cincinnati.